CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of U.S. Army War College. We're speaking of the Paraguayan election, 7.5 million people going to the polls within hours, Sunday, the last day of April, to vote for the future, which looks a whole lot like the past if the Colorado Party is returned to authority, which looks very much what the polls are saying. But there's unfinished business even if the party doesn't change. The May of 2022 assassination of a man who the DEA regarded as critical to unlocking the narco-terrorism interrelationship between Hezbollah in Beirut, Tehran, and the bad actors of the IRGC. And I'll throw in Russia and China here, all mixed up together in either exploiting or dominating the conversation in many capitals. I don't know if that's true in Paraguay, but the U.S. Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement said after Mr. Peche's assassination by people that were now linked to a Brazilian gang, but they were gunmen for hire. The U.S. said Peche's work fighting organized crime stands as an example to us all, especially his efforts to bring justice to those who engaged in money laundering, drug trafficking, and corruption. Professor, I mentioned Peche because it's lost in this election. Is the result on Sunday going to reveal more about Peche's assassination? Will there be a momentum for the Colorado Party to explore what appears to be a hired killing of a prosecutor who was bringing all of the world's attention to the Hezbollah?
Well, John, it's unclear whether whatever happens this on 30th will bring light to the Peche case. But really, the Peche case was a symptom of just the level of criminality and activity that is going on within Paraguay. As you mentioned, one of the issues is that we often focus on Mexican cartels like Sinaloa and Jalisco Nueva Generacion and the flow of cocaine from Peru and Colombia through the Caribbean and through Central America to the United States. But you also have drug flows going in other directions. For example, two very powerful Brazilian groups of transnational reach, the First Capital Commander, or the PCC, and the Red Commander, or Comando Vermelho, are very active not only in Brazil and places like Sao Paulo, but really have the reach extended to a number of different neighboring countries. And so, for example, the PCC is very active in Paraguay, where they compete with other local gangs for flows of marijuana, for flows of cocaine, and other things. And you find the PCC extending to Argentina, to Peru, and in other places. And so what happened with Peche really is a symptom of also the geographic position. Again, Paraguay is a very centrally located place, which especially with its dry land border with Brazil, you have a lot of difficulties with the flows of drugs and other illicit materials. But really what's, I think, at stake on the 30th also is the future of the relationship. Because on the one hand, you have a state who is one of three remaining center-right states in the region. Of course, Ecuador, which has political difficulties right now. You have Uruguay in the south, very close to China, although center-right, and of course, Paraguay. And so the question is the importance of Paraguay's continued cooperation with the United States. We have a very good relationship with the Abdo Benitez government right now. The challenge thus is that, given the naming of the head of the Colorado Party, Horacio Cartes, for significant corruption. Ambassador Ostfeld, our ambassador, I think, is working a very delicate balance. We have said that we will work with whoever is elected in Paraguay, and yet certainly there will be an attempt by if Peña, the Colorado candidate, wins, for him to navigate that, continuing to have a good relationship with the United States, for whom that's very important for security and other things. And yet the fact that his party boss, Horacio Cartes, again, has been criminally named by the United States, that's going to create a little bit of tension. So I think there is a walking of the tightrope of trying to actually work with Paraguay to get some of these corruption and other issues cleaned up, and yet at the same time maintain our just vital relationship with this center-right and very strategically, geographically, centrally located government in the middle there of South America.
The chief challenger, who, according to the polls, will not win, is Mr. Alegre. You mentioned that. And The news always features the fact that he went from a jail cell to a presidential contest. However, I'm learning, Professor, that that is not at all unusual in Latin America. For example, Peru seems to jail all their former presidents. I don't mean to be cynical. It's a puzzle, though, compared to how the Northern Hemisphere conducts its elections. Is the presumption that you've been jailed by a previous administration evidence that you're an opponent? Is that what it means?
Certainly in the United States, we didn't used to do that. But of course, the politics of Washington with, the question of the charges against President Trump, remind us that, we all face this difficulty. But part of the difficulty in Latin America is you have such systemic corruption that reaches such high levels in Peru, again, six previous presidents, especially with, major corruption scandals with companies like Odebrecht. And what has often happened in recent years is once those presidents have left power and a new group has come in, that's created the liberty for the next party in power to basically go after the corruption of the previous president. And so I think in recent years, and especially with some new judicial techniques and capabilities, you're beginning to see it's a testament just to the level of corruption that is throughout the Latin America, but not exclusively the Latin American political system.
The president of Brazil, for example, left a jail cell to become president for the third time, Lula da Silva. Evan Ellis, U.S. Yes. Army War College. I'm John Mack.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,